Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're dealing with a hamstring injury that you suffered during training camp. Your head coach now says that there's a chance that you could play this weekend. Can you let us in under the hood a little bit? How's the wheel feeling? How can you be most impactful and helpful? How's your body?
Man, we just going day by day. We're taking a step at a time. Just being in the building, sitting in the meetings, doing what I can. So it's been fun it's been stressful, but it's all for a reason. So going day at a time.
Fun, but stressful. It's been fun. Yeah. I mean the opposite of that. I meant to say stressful.
I mean, I've been very stressed.
I would assume none of it's fun. Fun?
You ever pull a hamstring?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about
softball.
Right. You were telling us about this. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the end of an era right there. I was like, I should stop doing anything where I try to run fast.
Now, maybe it's because I'm very fast. Yeah. Keith, but maybe it's because I don't really open it up.
That's true.
But I've never pulled a hammy. In fact, I don't know that I've really had any soft tissue. I'm well hydrated. I'm very limber.
Not to be like everybody who's had the injury and is an expert on it, but it's one of those things that hurts like hell, but it's not 7 weeks.
Well, I'm saying, but not even that. Just anybody who I know who's ever injured a hamstring or other athletes you've heard talk, I've never heard them be like, it's fun.
No.
Like, I don't think it's
stressful.
I don't think it's fun. Stressful makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fun. So that was.
He corrected himself, but it's also
odd.
The first word he thought of when describing it. But he's talking about like being around the team and being in the meetings and like trying to stay involved. But at the same time, they need him on the field. And we'll see what happens today. I mean, today's going to be a big one to see, is he limited? Is he, I doubt a full participant, but like, is he even out there or is he starting yet another week of practice as a straight up DNP? And then what? Like, then it feels like, all right, you're not turning that around in time to be in the game on
Sunday.
You're
right. Today's a big day, and maybe we'll get a report, maybe. Or maybe you'll hear it live from Mike Vrabel in the 1 o'clock hour, updating us on Christian Gonzalez and his availability. If he's out there today, that changes a lot. He was made available. It sounded like it was, Nick, you were telling us this off the air or maybe on the air.
No, it was for one of the NFL initiatives.
I was going to say, not necessarily charitable, but an NFL initiative that he was on there promoting. So it didn't necessarily sound team sanctioned, but more league sanctioned, if you will.
I think they actually kept him a shorter amount of time than we had him.
Well,
I
was going to say,
five questions, three of them were about the initiative.
Oh, well, you just answered my question. I was going to say, did they do 10 questions with him?
No,
five questions.
They only asked five total.
It was like 3 minutes.
Okay. They didn't have time.
So we didn't get the 10 cues with Gonzalez.
They didn't ask him if he wanted to fight 10 horse-sized ducks or one duck-sized horse.
With your sore hamstring, how many 10th grade, how many 5th graders could you beat up?
Oh, right that's a good question. With the bum wheel. They asked him about his wheel.
Probably like two or three.
Yeah.
5th graders are big now.
Oh, yeah. They're
growing them big.
They're rough. That's true.
Yeah.
So that was Christian Gonzalez yesterday on Good Morning Football. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. 617-779-7937. Jeremy Piven going to join us in studio coming up, hopefully in the next 15 minutes or so, moving target. He's on his U.S. national stand-up tour. He is going to be at the Wilbur on Friday. So we'll have Jeremy Piven with us here in just a little bit. We got Would You Rathers on a Wednesday, 11:30. We got the hashtag Dork Minute. As I told you, Vrabel speaking live later on today, probably updating the Gonzo situation. When Curran joined us yesterday, Keith, and if you missed any of that, it's on the Odyssey app. My ears rung out a little bit when he started mentioning Buffalo.
I was like, wait a minute.
He's like, yeah, geez, I don't know. Maybe bring him back for Buffalo. And I'm like, well, I know Curran's a plugged-in guy.
Yeah.
That sounded to me like he maybe heard a little something, knows a little something, somebody mentioned a little something. Yeah, boy, I don't know. Maybe Buffalo. which would coincide with the return from the IR. If they put him on IR, he'd miss the first 4 weeks, back for Buffalo. So, I don't know. I thought that was odd that Curran just kind of mentioned that out of the blue yesterday. Like, oh, by the way, I don't think it's this week, probably not next week, but Buffalo.
Yeah, I don't really like that, but that does feel like the way this is going. That's the way this whole thing is headed, because this team also, and you saw week one. Week one's the perfect example. Like, they don't have a lot of room for error. Like, they need to put their best out there, and then even then, they're going to be in a lot of dogfight games. And so it's one thing. Like, let's say this was the Patriots from 10 years ago, and you had a player on one of your starters was hurt. You could afford to slow play it. You'd still be 5-1 after six games. You still have Tom Brady, and you'd end up being fine, right? Like, right. Hey, you know, whoever it might be, like Steph Gilmore or somebody, Devin McCourty, like, take your time. I don't know. Like, if he's healthy, they need him. Like, look how many passing yards they've given up the last two games. They lost to the Raiders. So you're going up against the Steelers, not a guaranteed win. Even your guy, in Bryce Young and the Panthers, not a guaranteed win. There's no guaranteed wins along the way, and this guy would help you. So it's not the same mentality as you'd be like, hey, just wait until the Buffalo game. That's when you'll really need him against Buffalo. It's like, no, you need this guy every week. We saw that firsthand against Vegas.
So that is how I feel about it. And while you're right, Pittsburgh is not a guaranteed win. Carolina's not a guaranteed win.
No.
They should at bare minimum split those games, though, with or without Gonzalez.
I mean, I think they should.
It's much easier with Gonzo. But I agree. This is a winnable game this weekend. Carolina's a winnable game. Maybe they win both. They should certainly split. That's with or without Gonzalez. But I think Curran gave you an idea what the timeline could be, because I don't think that came out of nowhere yesterday from Tommy Curran. Do you find it interesting he actually talked? Like, do you find it interesting that he, even if it's a league initiative,
yeah, I do,
that he actually talked for the first time about the hamstring? That's the first time we've heard from him.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely find that more interesting than really anything that he even said. Was just sort of like the behind-the-scenes part of it, of like who the Patriots make available, who they don't make available. You'll even notice there'll be weeks that we have like our scheduled guests, right? We have Hunter Henry, Christian Ellis on Monday. We have the Milkman, Milton Williams, and Mike Onwenu. They rotate on Friday. But if one of those guys gets hurt and they're out for an extended time, they usually don't have them do it. Usually they're like, all right, we don't want to ask you about the injury. We're going to give you, they'll replace you. Right? Like last year or a couple of years ago, I feel like there was like a curse or something. Like almost everybody we talked to got hurt. So we talked to like a bunch of different players. So anyway, Gonzalez hasn't been made available to the media. He hasn't been talking at his locker, I don't believe.
Nope.
And so now you have this on NFL Network. I saw somebody even say, oh, he's on Good Morning Football or whatever. I was like, no, I doubt it. Remember, we're like, I don't even think so.
Yeah, no, my buddy texted me, he's like, hey, Gonzo was on Good Morning Football today. I'm like, that doesn't sound right.
Doubt it. And he sure was.
Turns out he sure was.
And so that might be the thing, though, when Nick's talking about like the league initiative stuff, like maybe they kind of have to, or I don't know how that goes.
The only thing I remember about Gonzalez talking, this is from September 3rd, so this is before the season even started. I set it aside. We never talked about it on the air, but Phil talked to Christian Gonzalez. And it was just it leading up to, I believe, week one against the Raiders. Gonzalez quietly folded and put away some of his clothing in his locker at Gillette while his Patriots teammates prepared for a fully padded practice just 4 days away from their season opener. Mm-hmm. The third-year corner did not. He understood the plan for him on Wednesday was to do some conditioning work on the side and not much more. Quote, I'm working, he said softly. So that sounds like Phil got like a second with him aside from everybody else on the side. He's like, hey, man, like, how you feeling? He's like, I'm working.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't remember Gonzalez talking, so that's the first time we heard from him. And I don't know. He text line says here, 617-779-7937. What I took from that is he says it's fun to get paid and not have to play.
I mean, it's one way to look at it. Another text says if Gonzo misses this game, it'll be his 16th missed game of his career. He's only played in 20.
Yeah, so I know you're not as willing to go to the contract stuff as I am with him, but
I think it'll be his 17th, actually. Because even last year he didn't play in one, right? So he missed, did he miss 13 in year one?
Correct.
Plus
he played
one,
the first four.
Plus
and
three. Yeah. I think it'll be 17 missed games.
Yeah, or missed 13, rather. So, yeah.
So he's sneaking up on having missed as many as he's played in.
So, look, I think the contract is right in the middle of this. Vrabel didn't bring that up out of nowhere. My opinion, what do I know?
Mm-hmm.
But that's just my opinion. It's bad business for him. If he's haggling over contracts already, or he's waiting to be 100% to come back, maybe he's at 95%, 90%, whatever it is, and he's waiting until he is 100%, no questions asked, making a business decision before he returns, I think that's bad business. And that stat is why.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in enough games.
No, that's why I do think, and that's why I'm very hesitant to say that it is solely contract, because it is so, it's such bad advice either by the agent or it's just a dumb decision. Right? Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, even if you're like, hey, I want to be like Sauce Gardner. All right, great. Sauce Gardner played, and he played his third year. Then he got the massive contract. Some of these other guys, even when they had injuries, like they just played more, and you're banking it so much just off of your second year. Like, okay, the team actually has your rights for 5 years. And I'm very much more team player than I am the team more often than not, especially in football when it comes to contracts. But for him, you have to prove it. You have to prove that you're worth the Patrick Surtain deal. You can't just be like, hey, I looked really good year two, and everybody thinks I'm like a top five corner now. It's like, all right, but what did you do in year three? Oh, you slow played an injury? Like, no thanks.
But just because it would be a bad business decision doesn't mean he's not making a bad business decision or isn't getting bad advice.
There have been bad decisions before by players.
So, I mean, just because I think it would be a mistake to do it, plenty of people have made mistakes with their contract negotiations and effed that up and gotten bad intel and listened to the wrong person. And so that might be what's going on with him.
It could. My take as of still right now, because I think if Vrabel doesn't say what he says, I don't even know if there's much life, if any, to this story. Right? Maybe some people would be like, well, hey, that's odd and whatever.
Me personally, unless somebody else brought it up, I never would have even connected the dots if Vrabel didn't bring it up. Personally.
So that's why, which again, that one is hard to explain away. I still feel like it was a minor hamstring strain. That's when Jordan Schultz is like, he'll be back for week one. Then you fast forward a couple of weeks, they think he's on track. Maybe he pushes it too hard, and then you almost start over. Right? So say it was a 4 week injury, but then as you're nearing towards the end of that 4 weeks, you do it again, and now it's 4 more weeks. That's the only thing I can think of. And if it's any longer than that, then, like, good Lord, I have no clue. It shouldn't be this long. It's been more than 7 weeks for a hamstring injury.
Well, and again, the initial report was, as you just said, he'd be back for week one. Giardi was on the air on Friday and said, well, that was the initial report from his camp, or the initial word from his camp. But right around Minnesota, they started putting out something different. So the implication there to me is he had a setback.
Yeah.
Joint practices with Minnesota. Well, if he had a setback, put him on IR and we'll see him Buffalo. It sounds like we're not going to see him till Buffalo anyway, if you listen to Curran. So the injury setback stuff doesn't even fully align for me. But I think the real answer is none of us know. And that's the first time we got to hear from him. Vrabel, I don't think, has done a great job explaining what's going on. And if you don't tell us what's going on, we're gonna sit here and speculate and wonder what the heck's going on.
And Vrabel speaks today. He's going to speak right around 1 o'clock. And the first question is going to be about Gonzalez.
Should be.
And we'll see what he says.
It should be.
I said a chance.
Did I actually say a chance? I don't think I said there's a chance.
Like you did like three times.
1,000% said that there, Mike. Tim is in Hanover. Hello, Tim.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey, I just want to tell you, I think Gonzalez is a great bat. But the thing is, you know what? I pulled my hamstring. It took me almost 6 months. It felt like a golf ball coming out of the back of my on my thigh.
Six months.
I tell you, if they take him back, I'm telling you, if they take him back too early, he might be out for the rest of the season or a good three quarters of it.
Okay.
They got to rush him. They got to rush him back. They're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I don't think they're rushing him back.
How's it doing now? We didn't ask him about the leg now. How's his wheel doing now?
Yeah, Jones, have a conversation with
the
callers.
That's on me.
Jones hangs up on the callers too quick.
That's on me.
We could have gotten more intel there. We had another guy on the text line that said he pulled it 7 weeks ago. So he had a setback while playing wiffle ball.
I've pulled it more recently than 7 weeks ago. I can tell you
good
that.
Good for you.
Sick brag, bro.
That's great. He says he's not a professional athlete. He's 57, so that would be a difference between him and one of the differences between him and
one of the
Christian Gonzalez.
I mean, I do not want him to miss 6 months. That is true. I don't want that for Christian Gonzalez.
All right, hamstring pull recovery time. You ready for this?
I think we already looked it up.
Yeah.
Grade one, 3 weeks.
No, grade one, 1 to 2 weeks.
Oh.
Grade two, 2 to 6.
Oh, there it is.
Grade three, 6 to 12 or more.
So his was at grade four?
The last guy was it must have been a grade four. He's still dealing with it. You might have something else. You might want to get an x-ray or something.
You might want to try, maybe stretching next time you do something is maybe what you want to mix in there. The Patriots get the Steelers this weekend. Aaron Rodgers, we mentioned they're going for back-to-back wins for the first time since 2022. They've had 9 or 10 different chances at it, depending on how you look at it. They haven't been able to win back-to-back games in there. Do you think Rodgers is going to be a problem? You mentioned this earlier. Curran mentioned it to us yesterday. They lost to him last year
with
the stinking Jets.
They did. I think the team's better this year, even without Gonzalez. I think they're better. I think they're going to be able to get more rush on him this year. And even with, like, Carlton Davis, I think they're in an okay spot there. Because it's really DK Metcalf, and they don't have a whole lot else. I thought they might try to pair DK Metcalf and George Pickens, but they didn't. They just decided to rid themselves of the headache. And so Aaron Rodgers, two games this year, he threw for 244 in a revenge game against the Jets where he had four touchdowns and was great. Last week in a loss to the Seahawks, 203 yards, 54% completion percentage, and one touchdown and a couple of picks. So, yeah, I think he's, you know, he's kind of in line with Geno Smith and Tua. He's kind of like that. He's not much better anymore. He's certainly not much worse.
No, and his week one, as you just said, he was great. Last week, they looked atrocious. So probably somewhere in between. And this defense makes quarterbacks look great. So how you feeling going into week three against Pittsburgh? How you feeling about Christian Gonzalez? Given the latest there from him yesterday on Good Morning Football, you'll hear more from Mike Vrabel in the 1 o'clock hour here on Jones and Keefe. We're awaiting Jeremy Piven, who again will be at the Wilbur on Friday as part of his U.S. national stand-up tour. We'll check in with him, hopefully, coming up right after Trending with Billy Lanny. If not, we'll get you some Would You Rathers here on a Wednesday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for
Would You Rather Wednesday.
I got great Would You Rathers.
Would you rather have a pet bird that swears or a pet monkey that smokes? Would you rather get punched in the face or tossed in a pond? Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
On Jones and Keefe.
Would You Rather Wednesday. Jones and Keefe, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. Still expecting Jeremy Piven to drop by the studio. He's got a show at the Wilbur on Friday as part of his U.S. national stand-up tour. We got a hashtag Dork Minute for you potentially later on this hour. We'll get back to the Red Sox as well at high noon. But what the heck? Let's do some Would You Rathers.
All right.
In the meantime, what's first up here, Bill?
Would you rather have Mike Tomlin or Mike Vrabel?
Ooh, battle of the mics.
Yeah, now this is not...
It's a mic off
I don't
on Sunday.
Think this is who's had the better coaching career or anything like that, because that is Tomlin.
Yeah.
Who do I want this weekend, present day? I'd rather have Vrabel.
Yeah, I would too. I know it kind of sounds homerish. I mean, Tomlin had... I underrated Tomlin for a long time. Now I feel like I properly rate him. I think he's good. I think he should get more credit for coaching Antonio Brown for as long as he did and kind of keeping it on the rails as long as he did.
Yeah.
He does have a Super Bowl. It was forever ago. And he'll get you to he'll get you over 500. He'll get you 9 wins every year and then a blowout loss in the wild card round. Like, he'll get you there. I think he probably has the higher floor right now, but I would still take Vrabel. Like, if they were both available right this offseason, both guys were out there, I would rather take Vrabel.
Yeah, no,
but I don't know if that would be the I don't know if everybody would agree with that.
Oh, I bet most wouldn't. I mean, I think that probably is a homerish take here in Boston. I think you're probably right about that. When's the last time he won a playoff game? It's eons ago.
Oh, my God.
So he'll get you there every single time. They don't win once they're there.
Well, especially like as a Patriots fan, like it was hard to really be too scared of the Steelers because they just own the Steelers. It's like regular season playoffs. It was like Steelers could have Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown. You're like, yeah, I'm not really worried about it.
Right. And that really, in retrospect, wasn't a knock on Tomlin because the Patriots owned pretty much everybody in those days. But yeah, I'm with you. I think Tomlin used to be underrated. I now think he's overrated. You said you personally properly
rate him? Well, I had
him
so low. I had him so low for a while that I wasn't giving him enough credit. And then it's just year after year after year. And what happened, too, was after he lost Roethlisberger, he had a million, like Kenny Pickett and Duck Hodges and like these random quarterbacks. And he was still piecing together wins.
Nick tells me he thinks it was 2016, last time they won a playoff game.
Yeah, they finished first in the division and 17 lost in the divisional round. They were 13-3. The year before that, they were 11-5. Also first in the division, lost in the conference final.
Well, there was a year they started 14-0 or something like that. 13-0. They way deep in the year, they were undefeated, late with Roethlisberger, and they got bounced right away. So, if Tomlin went to another job, like, if he wasn't in Pittsburgh and he started fresh somewhere else, I'd probably go back to believing in him. It just feels stale.
Yeah,
the whole thing there feels stale, which happens.
Do you think he ever coaches somewhere else?
Yes.
Okay. I wonder how much longer he has there. Because I think even in Pittsburgh, it seems like they're getting a little restless. They're like, hey, this is great and all that you have this, you know, streak going where you don't have a losing record. But when have you ever been a contender?
How old do you think Mike Tomlin is?
53. Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So that's plenty of time to get another gig. And I would bet on him at his next gig, but I think it's done in Pittsburgh. I think he has a losing season for the first time with Aaron Rodgers.
All right, but so.
And he's out.
So then play that out, though. Like, so if he was available, like, let's say last year Pittsburgh was like, we're done with him.
So I could choose this between off-season. Tomlin and Vrabel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might change my answer, to be honest.
Okay.
So, yeah.
If they were both free agent coaches this past offseason. Yeah, would Tomlin have been more in demand than Vrabel? I think across the league, yeah. Maybe not here just because of the Kraft connection, but...
Yeah, I might have. If that's the way we're phrasing it, they were both options to coach the team this offseason. Who would I rather have? I might answer that, Tomlin.
Okay.
But I'll answer it for now as Vrabel.
All right.
What else do we have, Bill?
Would you rather Loya Malloy or James White in the Patriots Hall of Fame?
I don't know if you heard this, but Ty Law was in yesterday with the Greg Hill Show, and they were talking about...
I heard the Malloy part, yeah.
Well, they were talking about Patriots Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Because I think that ceremony coming up, right?
Yeah,
and
Saturday.
So they're going back and forth. And so Curtis is like, well, James White needs to be in there. And Ty Law's like, James White? He's like, what about like Loya Malloy? And then the two are going back and forth on those two guys. I think they both should be in. I think Loya Malloy does get kind of forgotten because it was so long ago. But he was so good for so long.
I kind of thought he wasn't. Like, I actually looked this when they were talking about it yesterday. I actually looked it up.
Check.
I was like, is Ty right? No, he's not.
Because that would throw off the whole question, I suppose, if he's already
it would.
In.
I'd still answer James White
over
Loya Malloy. Personally.
Over Loya Malloy?
Yeah.
Okay. I think they both eventually will get in there.
It's a team Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So to me, that's the way.
No, James White's the kind of guy that would be in there.
That's the way I would lean.
That's true.
On a Would You Rather Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. We're pleased to be joined in studio by Jeremy Piven, currently on his U.S. National Stand-Up Tour. He's going to be at the Wilbur on Friday. We're very excited to have you in on the show. Thanks for joining us here, Jeremy.
Thank you for having me.
You're a big football fan, right? Big Bears fan?
Absolutely.
How are you feeling about Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson?
Well, you know, it was interesting. The first game, we played three great quarters, and then I don't know exactly what happened.
Yeah.
It was very surreal. But I do know that, you know, we were playing with some backup corners, and then there were some issues with some calves, and I don't know how you go into game one with so many injuries. Listen, the reality is, and you guys do this for a living, none of us, and I say this with love and respect, are elite athletes.
How dare you, Jeremy? Wow. Yeah. Come on, our show.
That's a Division III college athlete right there, Jeremy.
Wildly impressive, but you're behind a mic right now.
I sure am.
And you never made it to the big show.
Just missed.
And yeah, it's great. Just missed, just barely.
It's so close.
And I almost became an astronaut. You know, we all want to do things in this life, but my point is that, you know, these are elite athletes, and I don't know how exactly you go into week one with all these injuries. It's like, you know, for me, you know, I'm an actor and a stand-up, and I wore my voice up. I train every day. I try to figure out how to be the best version of myself. You know, I don't know what the variables are to make sure that, you know, going into the season, we have our roster there. But listen, it's disappointing. We were all really excited. You know, he's a great coach. He did incredibly well with the Lions, and he came over. We thought we had it, and then week two, I think we gave up 51 points to the Lions.
Yeah, 52 to 21.
Speaking of just missed,
they
were right there. What do you like during games? Like, what kind of fan are you? Are you yelling at the TV? Like, what kind of fan are you during games?
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking. I surprised myself how emotionally invested I am, to be honest with you. It's kind of shocking. I scream. I'm totally immersed in the game. as you guys know and everyone listening, like, it's more than just a game to us. Like, why Bears? Okay, I'll tell you. I grew up watching with my father, so there's that connection that we all have to our team. I'm sure you guys with Boston, and we're very similar in Chicago, that we stand by our team. We're very loyal. And so when I watch the Bears, it's all those memories of growing up with my father and watching Walter Payton and watching the 85 Bears. And so all that is tied into it, and it means a lot to us.
Where do you stand on comedy sequels? Spinal Tap 2 just came out, which I saw. It actually was very good. Happy Gilmore 2. I know the Super Trooper guys are working on another Super Troopers now. It seems like it's a tough cookie to crack. They haven't all been successful, but these comedies that came out even like decades ago, getting another run at it. How do you feel? Then I guess aside from that, like if PCU or Old School or some of your great movies, if they came back to you and were like, hey, we're thinking of bringing it back, what would your reaction be?
I 1,000% in, you know, because I'm doing stand-up, I have an insight. It's not, I'm just not an actor at home waiting for the phone to ring. I'm on the ground. I run around Boston and get a little bit of, you know, the energy here, which is intense. You know, hey, let's hug it out, bitch. Where's Mark? Where's Marky Mark?
That's right. Yeah, I'd imagine he comes up often here, yeah.
Oh, no, I love it. I love it. Because he, you know, was the inspiration for Entourage. Old School, Todd Phillips, the brilliant writer and director of that, who has gone out and said, I don't think that, you know, a raunchy comedy like that could survive in this climate. And I think he's completely wrong. I think not only could it survive, but it would thrive, because the number one piece of content last year on Netflix was The Roast of Tom Brady, which couldn't have been more raunchy.
Right.
Could not. And mm-hmm. So people just want funny. And if it's raunchy and funny, my mom used to have a great saying in my house growing up, you can say whatever you want as long as it's funny. And it was good. Incredible. Yeah. And I think that's the way the country is right now. So I think, to be honest with you, the first one in is going to be a king, because it's going to blow up. That first real raunchy comedy that hits, that's funny, it's game on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm in. I'm totally in.
I feel like both of those would be perfect. PCU too?
Well, PCU was so ahead of its time.
It was.
I mean, there were jokes in that where, like, everyone, you know, would do anything to protest. And my character was, you know, like an eighth year senior. And it was amazing. And this is a million years ago, but it was before its time. And so they finally got them to stand down and not protest. And they're like, we're not gonna protest. I mean, it was just so funny.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
And maybe you just answered it, but like Keith was going through your career, Old School, Entourage, PCU. Do you have a favorite role? Like a lot of people probably have a favorite role for you. Do you have a favorite role that stands out in your mind?
In terms of what I'm capable of doing as an actor, and like, you know, being able to fire on all cylinders, I'll make some you know, cliched sports analogies, but like you know, let's say that, you know, I'm Caleb Williams and I operate better on the move. You know what I mean? And I'm not a guy that's operate a lot, you know, right out of center. Like, I'm used to rolling out and all that kind of stuff. Like with Ari Gold, I got to utilize so much of my skill set, you know, because the character was like, I played him like a Greek tragedy. He was over the top emotionally. You know, and then got to, you know, break it down and be softer with the wife and all this type of stuff. But my best role for me personally, the thing that I'm most kind of connected with, is something that I've been working on for 15 years called The Performance, that'll be out this year, that is an adaptation of an Arthur Miller short story where I play a Jewish tap dancer in 1937 that hides his identity and dances for Hitler. And whenever I would tell that to anyone, they would laugh in my face. And that's why it took me 15 years to find the money. And the rest of the roles, to be honest with you, that it's just me as a grunt. I'm like a special teams player. I'm a journeyman actor, which is what I am. I really am a journeyman actor. You know, I'm on the practice squad, and I've been that guy my whole life. And then I got called up for Entourage. And by the way, that was still, I was used very sparingly. I would come in, maybe, to block a punt, literally in that role. Yeah. And I was going to be a fringe player and then came in and, I contributed. And Doug Ellen wrote it, is, brilliant. And he saw, okay, there's something going on here. Let's explore and heighten this character. But I had a limited contract on that show. Everyone else, I was last on the call sheet, last. Dead last. E was first and Ari Gold was last. And that's just the way it is. And I was the oldest. I was 40,
and the best on the show, if we're being honest.
Well, I was 40 movies into my career when I started.
Yeah.
And then I blew up and won the Fresh Face of the Year at 40 years old. And I started at 8. So I was 32 years.
There he is, the fresh face. 32 his first
years.
Role.
Yeah, 32-year overnight success. And there was nothing fresh about my face.
I'm curious, you mentioned with all the different roles you've been in, is there an obscure, what's the most obscure reference that somebody bumping into you at the airport has come up? Because I'm sure there's like the big 4 or 5 that people obviously associate with you. I personally love the movie Very Bad Things. I remember
there
seeing that.
It's so funny. Literally, you and I at that moment were thinking, in Very Bad Things, it couldn't be any darker than that film. But people, like one guy yelled, "Oh, you're the dude that killed the hooker in the bathroom."
I'm
like, "That's a movie, you guys."
I didn't kill
the hooker in the bathroom.
A very memorable movie, very funny, unbelievable cast.
Well, it's very interesting. My life is very, very strange, and I'm just a journeyman actor that puts everything I have into my roles. And I had an actor, and I won't name who it is, but come up to me, a really good actor, and go, "Mate, you want to do a little Charlie in the bathroom, a little bit of,
Russell Crowe?
No, that's not. No, Russell did come up to me, and I'll tell you that story in a minute.
Okay. Crocodile Dundee?
No.
That's crazy.
Yeah. No. And he goes, "Come on, mate. What do you say? A little bit of little Charlie?" And I'm like, "I don't do blow." And he goes, "Oh, mate, I've seen you do blow, mate. Come on, a little bit of the old nose candy." And I go, "No, bro, I don't do blow." I go, "Did you see Very Bad? No, sorry. Did you see Smoking Aces?"
"Smoking Aces, another great one."
And he's like, "Yeah, man, I saw that." I go, "Did you think that?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "You're a really good actor." We were snorting powdered vitamin C. You know that. It was, and he's like, "Oh, mate." God. And so.
Yeah, that's how believable you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so believable that I was a drug addict.
Yeah, you're going crazy
and
in that
movie.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, I was wearing colored contacts that make the eyes red. I mean, that's what we do. We pretend for a living. But the fact that this guy was convinced was, it blew me away. And there's a really big compliment in there, and I appreciate it. But yeah, Russell Crowe came up to me at a party one time in a tuxedo with a couple beers in his hands. And he goes, "Mate, I have to say, I saw you in Very Bad Things, man. There's any way you and I could possibly, I'm thinking about it, is there any way you blew my phone line back?" And I was like, wait, Russell Crowe,
like,
what?
Gladiator, holy smokes.
Unbelievable. and what he was saying is, "I want to work with you, mate. I saw you in Very Bad Things. Unbelievable." I was like, Maximus wants to
amazing.
Work with me.
Oh, it is amazing.
It was incredible. We've never worked together, but I guess people call him Maximus like the way they call me Ari Gold. And at first I was, it was a bit confronting, and as an actor, like, "Wait, I've done so much more," but now you're like, "Yeah, bless you." But when they come to watch this transition, when they come to the Wilbur Theater Friday night to see me, they're gonna get Jeremy Piven telling stories from the set. What it's like, and doing an hour of stand-up, whether it be, doing impressions or observational stuff, whatever it is. Like, it's stuff that just happens in the moment, that you can just throw up there. And for me, it's a way to use my entire skill set. And now I'm just calling all the plays. I'm the quarterback, the head coach, the linebacker, I'm everyone.
We do something every Wednesday, a very popular segment called Would You Rather Wednesday.
Okay.
I think it's the alliteration that we like that really pops.
Yeah, what do you think of that name? It seems like you're hesitant
like
on the
would
name
Would You
there.
Rather.
Oh, okay,
like
good,
that.
Okay.
No, it's a
good,
great
good,
game.
Good. It's sort of an either or, Jeremy, is what we're asking for. So would you rather be really, really hot or really, really cold?
Well, it's funny you say that because I'm getting older as I'm actually touching my knees right now because I just got off a plane, you know, 6-hour flight. And so I used to look at a woman in a short skirt and I'd be like, wow, she's hot, right? And now I'm like, I wonder if she's cold.
She might be a little cold. Yeah, get her a little.
That's what happens when you get older.
Okay. No kidding, okay.
So I think I would rather, to be honest with you, I'd rather be hot.
Okay.
Yeah, because I grew up in Chicago, so I grew up cold.
All right.
Okay. Would Keith vehemently disagrees.
I hate sweating. I don't like to sweat.
Yeah.
I love to sweat.
I
prefer to be cold. Would you rather the ability to fly or the ability to be invisible?
I'd rather fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think invisible is for the creepers. And, you know, bless you. And
correct.
I think you're probably a cold creeper.
Cold creeper.
I think that is how you've answered both of those in the past.
Invisible guy was cold.
Yeah, a guy was cold in the corner just looking at Okay, peeping. No, I'd like the ability to fly because I've had it in dreams and that would be amazing.
All right. Would you rather be a werewolf or a vampire?
I think a vampire just because...
Who's the creep now?
Well, no, you just keep it going. You just live forever like Keanu Reeves.
That's true. That's a good point.
That is true.
All right, and then lastly, would you rather fight 10 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
I think one horse-sized duck.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The odds are even.
Yeah, you just got one right in front of you.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
I love how it's a huge duck. I love
though.
How people
you
are
can focus on it. Yeah.
With like how many men could, you know,
oh, the
fight
gorilla
a
one?
Silverback
yeah.
ape.
That was good. Which side of that were
yeah,
you
Yeah, while
on?
You're there, yeah.
I look, man, you know, a silverback, I just feel like I don't know if there's a way to win.
No.
You know,
there's
I
not.
Love these guys, you know, that are going to put a rear naked choke
yeah,
on
right.
a.
Don't think so.
They're like, John Jones could do it. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that silverback might rip his head off and start eating its torso.
I agree.
Well, Jeremy Piven, we appreciate the time participating in some Would You Rathers.
Yes.
Check out his U.S. National Stand-Up Tour at the Wilbur on Friday. If you want to check out other dates, jeremypiven.com. That's jeremy-piven.com. If you want to check out other dates and locations on
the
tour.
By the way, at the Wilbur, the VIP are sold out, but don't let that detour you because every seat is great. 1,100 seats, intimate. Everybody wins. Let's hug it out, bitch.
What are the Boston crowds like? You like
unbelievable.
The Boston crowds are good, right?
Yeah, you know, because they're very vocal. They have fun.
Yeah.
But if you earn their respect, you got to earn their respect, which is great. They're not just going to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to see what you got. And, yeah, it's they keep you on your toes. For sure.
No, we talk to them daily here. And so, yeah,
yeah
we're still waiting to earn their respect here on this show.
Listen, maybe on the 12th of never. That's the day. Put it in your calendars. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, Jeremy Piven joining us here. We have the hashtag Dork Minute next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The show starts in one.
This is movie time.
Shang-Chi.
You've seen none?
None.
Me and Billy have combined. Me and Billy have combined for one.
Billy's 100 years old.
You and I will go see this new Marvel. People are saying it's actually nuts.
I'm going to give it a rock hard 5 out of 6.
Don't spoil it. Do not spoil it. What's going on?
Make sure you subscribe to the
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
All right, so Dork Minute here on Jones and Keith WEI. Thanks again to Jeremy Piven for stopping by. He'll be at the Wilbur on Friday. Not to give away all his material. He did tell us on his way out. He's got some Bill Belichick stuff.
He did say that. Yeah, he's like, guys, yeah. I got Bill jokes. Tell people that's what we're doing on Friday. So
I'm
good
like,
to know.
Do you have a 22-year-old girl as a prop? No, I didn't say that to him. But so we'll see. You gotta go to find out. But that was cool talking to Piven. Speaking of good interviews, Jones, Lucas Giolito was on the Dork podcast. So Lucas Giolito is pitching tonight for the Red Sox.
Man, guest central here, left and right.
Guest heavy week.
Yeah.
Did you confirm who we have tomorrow? Do you want to say who we have for tomorrow's show?
Well, yeah, I can say it.
Go ahead.
The Hogman.
Wow.
Hogdale going to be on tomorrow. High noon. High noon with Hog tomorrow. Live from Fenway.
From Barney the Purple Dinosaur to Grimace. We love to see it.
All right, we need one more for a Mount Rushmore from this week.
Great
Giolito,
point.
Piven,
yeah,
Hog.
Who can we get on Friday?
Bradford doesn't count.
Bradford and Curran are both very good, but they're weekly. These are new special guests.
Billy, you want to check? Maybe he's pretty newsy this week. Maybe get Tom Brady on the show Friday. Maybe we could do that. Yeah, if you get Brady.
Reaching out now?
Yeah, if you could do that, that'd be good. Yeah.
Right, Tom Brady would round out that four.
Yeah, be a good Mount Rushmore.
He'd round out that four pretty good.
Yeah.
But Giolito came on for about an hour, and we just chopped it up. He is, you know what's funny? He also confirmed who the biggest Star Wars fan is on the Red Sox.
Let me guess.
It's not him, although he is a big fan.
Isaiah Campbell's got big glasses. Isaiah Campbell?
It's not Isaiah Campbell. It is Richard Fitz.
Oh, Dick Fitz.
Dick Fitz loves Star Wars.
Wow.
So I'm a fan. I'm a fan of his. So you can check out that episode on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. It's also available on YouTube. This week we did Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. And these comedy sequels, this is like 40 years in the making. That's a long time.
Long time.
Pretty enjoyable, though. I had a good time. I thought it was good. Now, we talked about it on Monday during Grab Bag. It made no money. Like, I don't think anybody saw it.
You and Davey are the two people who saw it, I think.
We spent $500,000 on it, and then it got up to $1.7 million or whatever. But it was good, though. I thought it was actually better than Happy Gilmore 2. I know a lot of people didn't like Happy Gilmore 2.
That's still on my...
You're thinking about watching
it. It's still on my wait and see list, yep.
Oh, that's actually something that we should do here, Jones. Is there a movie, because this is going to be a lot of movie and TV during the Dork Minute.
Mm-hmm.
What movie or show have you thought the most about watching, but you haven't?
So far, it's Happy Gilmore 2.
Okay.
But we can have some more challenges on there. Yeah, yeah.
It is football month. We had to postpone the program breakdown. We're going to do that this week, as well as the new Marlon Wayans movie, Him. It's like a horror football movie?
Yeah, I didn't know much about. I've seen the ads. I didn't know much about
it.
But it crossed over with the challenge.
Yeah, it looks intense.
A week or two ago, yeah. And so it was a little more on my radar.
Now, there's also news that speaking of Marlon Wayans, there's going to be a scary movie 6, and they're looking at a lot of the different movies that they want to make fun of.
Jeremy Piven was in one of those scary movies, right?
He was in Scary Movie 3.
Three, there it is. Yeah,
hard to keep up with his filmography. It was very loaded.
So what could they make fun of?
Yeah, he already said he wants to make fun of like Get Out and Nope, two of the Jordan Peele movies. I Know What You Did Last Summer, which came back, and he had a couple others that he rattled off.
I think
a bunch
he said the Run from Weapons he wanted to do.
They should.
That makes sense.
They should absolutely do the Run.
Like
from,
I
from
even
weapons.
I'm aware of that, so that's probably something they should mock.
Definitely should do that. There's a trailer for a new movie that comes out this Christmas called Anaconda, which, nice. The snake.
Oh.
The giant jungle snake.
So you'll see this.
I can't. I don't think I can. I barely could even look at the trailer. So it's Paul Rudd and Jack Black, and the premise of the movie is they go out to, they want to recreate their favorite movie ever, which is Anaconda. Of course, the Ice Cube J-Lo vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
So yeah, oh, yeah, sure.
They're going to go out and do that.
Pythons, rattlesnakes, cobras, black mambas.
Yeah. No, this one.
Is snakes out there?
So they want to recreate that.
Uh-huh. So it's a remake about a remake?
Wait, the first Anaconda is a remake?
No. So it's going to be a remake about doing a remake.
No, Nick, there's a twist. The twist is they are going to make a movie, but then, unbeknownst to them, there happens to be a real anaconda there. That's probably going to cause chaos.
Yeah, they're probably all over.
Yeah. Here's a movie that you might think about maybe watching, Jones. It's called The Housemaid. The Housemaid.
Oh, the new Sidney Sweeney?
That's right.
Oh, well, that rockets to the top of the list.
You went on that?
I saw the Emmys this weekend. I am in.
It is Sidney Sweeney and...
doesn't matter.
Amanda Seyfried.
Oh.
Yeah.
It kind of mattered, actually.
Does.
I take it back.
That actually mattered a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
But it looks like that could be pretty intense. I think it's based off of a book, so I think it's going to have a built-in audience. But that also comes out in December. Gen V is a show that is the first three episodes of season 2 are out now. This is a spinoff of The Boys, very popular TV show.
Spell it.
Gen
G-E-N. So not some girl named Gen V.
Oh, good one.
G-E-N.
No, like Generation V.
Gotcha.
Like
okay.
Gen, G-E-N-V. Very violent, very funny show that does overlap with The Boys. So that's season two is out right now. Task continues to be very good. See, episode two just came out this past Sunday. I highly recommend Task before it gets going too much.
Episode two was still
good.
Strong?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Greg seems...
Greg is like, I didn't
Greg's
didn't
real
see it.
Iffy about it, yeah.
I know. And then Peacemaker is ramping up. We're past the halfway point on Peacemaker. And then Alien Earth, the penultimate episode of this season, aired last night. Haven't watched it yet, but the finale's next week. And that show's been very, very good.
Well, let me tell you, that's actually one I've seen a lot of people talking about just randomly on my social media out of nowhere. And you brought it up.
It's really good.
Well, I see the ads here and there. Wasn't really on my radar, but I keep seeing
Did
people
you think
talking
about watching it.
No, that's not that is not my speed. That is not something I'm even thinking about watching. But I have seen a lot of positive reviews.
What
on
would
it,
you? How would you describe your speed? If not, you know, running. We know you're the cheetah. But
well,
I mean,
I'm
like,
very
for,
fast
for move for movies specifically. Because I know what kind of TV
movies.
Speed you at. Your TV speed is very much
very limited. Yeah, reality TV.
Reality.
Yeah,
reality based
competition reality type shows is very much my speed for television. I mean, a comedy is what I would lean in on. But Billy's right. They don't. They hardly even make them anymore.
That's true. That's why we got
to
get.
Although they would crush, according to Jeremy.
Kevin's right.
You want to make a nice raunchy comedy? I'd be in on it.
Make a raunchy comedy right now. Could go. I mean, people clearly want comedies. You know, Spinal Tap 2 almost made $2 million this weekend, so people are clamoring for him.
Great point.
There you go. There's your Dork Minute.
Hashtag Dork Minute every Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. Let's reset on the Red Sox as well. Who we blaming for last night? We got to blame somebody for last night. Who we blaming for last night? That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.